perhaps the best known, most widely memorized verse in the New Testament, maybe the entire Bible. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That second part about believing and inheriting eternal life, well, that's the subject for another day. There's plenty to be learned, much to discuss with just the first phrase of that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It gives us a window into the essence of what love is. Love is one half of a two-sided coin, the other side of which is loss. Love and loss. Love and death. Two sides of the same coin. Themes in much of the world's greatest literature, certainly a theme throughout the entire scripture. 2 weeks ago, our whole family was gathered to honor and celebrate and remember the good long life of Jeannie's dad, and there were 25 of us gathered in an adjoining hotel room, two rooms. And it was like living in a pinball machine for a little bit. This is where we gathered to rest and make ready, and also to celebrate and to play. 25 of us, 9 of whom were children under the age of 10, again, in just two adjoining hotel rooms, with 4 beds and about 15 pillows, and you can guess what happened after that. We were making what we called kid sandwiches, you know, out of a pillow and a kid and another pillow, and huge laughter. And Ava, the 4-year-old, was the meat in a kid sandwich and was getting tickled by her papa like this, you know, and she's laughing hysterically and then suddenly says, "That hurt. For real." And I was the one who did it. And I was horrified for a second, and then she started laughing again, and it took about 4 seconds for Papa to be back in good graces, which is stunning, really, and very gratifying. And of course, that's a metaphor for the whole experience, you know. The laughter and the love is tinged with pain and loss. It hurt for real to be a part of that. So I want to talk about the theme that comes out of that in my own mind. Love for real. Both sides of that two-sided coin. Part of what we did in the course of that day was to do what church people do when we commemorate the love and loss of Jesus. We celebrate Holy Communion here once a month. We eat together and drink together. Well, that's what we did in those adjoining hotel rooms. We ate and drank together. We didn't eat grape juice and bread. We ate pizza. And it fell to me and Jeannie's oldest brother to go pick up the pizza. And we'd arranged ahead of time that we would split the cost of this 3 ways. It was going to be egalitarian. And so Dave and I were at the pizza joint, and we got a stack of pizzas about this high, and I reached for my wallet, and Dave said, "I'm paying. I'm now the patriarch. This is what I do. It's my time." And I'm prone to arguing with people about the check, but I didn't this time because it was his time. And there's a sense of urgency to the expression of love. And in this instance, simply paying for the pizza would give us some joy and some strength, some sustenance. There's always a sense of urgency that goes with sharing love, even if the form of that sharing is a stack of pizzas. And we're not all called to be patriarchs, but we're all called to be partners in loving relationships, whether it be with a spouse or partner or lover or child or parent or friend. It is our calling to be a partner. And we're more aware of it than usual in the run-up or aftermath to a loss, but there is a sense of urgency to the sharing of love, to the taking responsibility, and showing the love in whatever way that makes sense. Danny Gunn didn't get up yesterday morning anticipating his life ending, and most of us don't either. And the odds of it happening are not high, but they're never zero. And the people we love, there is a sense of urgency in the sharing of that feeling. Counselors tell couples to avoid, if at all possible, ending a day in a snit, and to begin each day with terms of endearment, because no one knows what the day might or might not bring. There's a sense of urgency because love and loss are so deeply entwined. When love is for real, there's a sense of urgency underneath it. But we're also all a work in progress. It's difficult to live in a complicated life and not take things and each other for granted from time to time. Some years ago, I read, I forget where, what I think is a useful image about, again, love for real being something of a process. And the image is the love bank. Imagine an emotional bank account that has in it a balance of positive emotion from someone you love, from everyone you love. You have a love bank with everyone in your life to varying degrees and with varying levels of investment. This love bank typically starts out with a pretty big balance. Imagine, you know, early in the relationship of someone you love deeply and who loves you back. That's all you can think about. And you're consumed with the wonder of it all, the good feeling that goes with being newly in love. And so the love bank starts with a pretty significant balance, which over time can be eroded. It's possible, depending on, you know, the nature of the relationship, it's possible to drain the love bank with one careless act or spiteful experience. When Lindy, our youngest, was an intern with the National Park Service, she worked at Carlsbad Caverns. And in Carlsbad Caverns, deep below the ground, there's what they call the bottomless pit. And if you throw something into the bottomless pit, you never hear it land, and that's why it's imagined to be bottomless. Actually, it simply has soft silt in the bottom, so you never hear it. Well, people do throw things into the bottomless pit to see if, in fact, they can hear, and it falls to interns working for the National Park Service to clean that out from time to time. And Lindy tells the story of going down to the bottom of the bottomless pit, which isn't actually all that far down, and pulling out from it a wedding ring. Somebody had gone to a great deal of trouble to drain the love bank. Well, most of us don't live in relationships that have that depth of destruction. But there are ways of eroding relationships over time through withdrawals if balances are not repaid. And the thing that I think erodes relationships quicker than anything else is divided attention, the lack of undivided attention. What is love? How you spend your time. In some sense, how you spend your money, too. I think it's interesting that the florists know they can raise the prices of roses around Valentine's Day. You know what? It's worth it. It's worth it if you think about it for the people who love you the most. The love bank is a useful image to pay attention to. I would suggest on a more or less daily basis with the people who love and who love you back, because when love is for real, it is a process. It is worth paying attention to. It's worth nurturing. Because it is worth it at the last. And this is the hardest thing of all, maybe, to come to understand when you think about love for real. Going back to the text, God so loved that he gave his only son. What would possess a divine being to love everything he created and everyone in his world so much that he would allow his son to be crucified to save us? The cross is the symbol of this mystery. How could God love so much? Well, for reasons that go beyond our understanding, God has simply declared the people he created to be worth the trouble. And we get hints of that, don't we? Don't we? That we are worth it. Maybe it requires the mindset of a four-year-old who knows that her papa loves her very much and she loves him back. And when he hurts her inadvertently, she lets him know, for real. And 4 seconds later, she's laughing. Now, it may take longer than 4 seconds to overcome and deal with some of the things that hurt us from people we love that are older than 4. But I think one of the things that gives us the strength and the energy to say, I forgive you, to ask for forgiveness, to reconcile and rekindle the love, is this one single verse. God so loved that he gave. God so loved the world, which includes you, and it includes the other people in your life. So loved you. I mean, you can insert your own name into that verse, and it works. God so loved the world. God so loved, insert your name here, and insert the name of someone you love, that he gave his only son. You're worth it. You're worth that much for God to put his own son on the cross and make him bleed. When love is love for real, it's urgent, it's a process, it's a mystery. It's a mystery when, through the eyes of a 4-year-old, we get a glimmer, a glimpse, a foretaste of the feast to come, because at the end of the day, love for real, one half of the two-sided coin that it is worth it. Because you're worth it. Amen.